Describe the last time you visited your home country or something memorable in that time. You have 2 minutes.
These stories will be good fodder for stump speeches. Political trainer Monica Perez tells the group. It's a Saturday morning at the Arab American National Museum in Dearborn, Michigan, where nearly 30 people from three states are participating in a crash course in candidacy. The weekend of workshops is hosted by the New American Leaders Project, an organization that helps naturalized and first-generation Americans prepare for the hurdles they'll face on the campaign trail. For the 10 Muslim Americans at the session, a major challenge will be dealing with the increased Islamophobia we've seen take hold in the U.S. since November. I'm Beenish Ahmed. In this piece for Harper's, I spoke with a few aspiring Muslim American politicians about their hopes, fears, and reasons for running. Here's what they had to say.
My name is Gita Dagger.
So my name is Fatou Saidi Saar.
My name is Hanan Yahya.
My name is Maitham Al-Shadud.
I moved to the Detroit area when I was 9 years old as a refugee from Sierra Leone. Both of my parents are Lebanese by heritage.
I am an immigrant. I am an African immigrant. And I am a woman. I'm a single mother. So I'm a Muslim also.
I was born in Yemen and I moved to the United States at the age of 3 with my 8 siblings and parents. And I was raised in Southwest Detroit.
So I was born and raised in Baghdad, Iraq. In 2003, when the invasion happened, I graduated high school and went to School of Veterinary Medicine, Mosul. I was able to finish 2 years out of 5, and sectarian violence escalated. At that time, I decided to postpone my studies and come to Baghdad. Me and my best friend actually decided to work for the United States Army as interpreters.
I remember my first campaign, I made phone calls to folks because I was bilingual. It was actually for the John Kerry campaign. And I would make my phone calls both in Arabic and in English to older voters. And I was one of the only few people that could actually do that. But it was my entree into this world, and I fell in love with it.
I know that rhetoric can be used against me. Maybe I'm just a newcomer. I don't know what's going on. Maybe my values don't align with what some people would call American values. Maybe some people will think, okay, because I'm a Muslim, I might be a liability. Because right today, almost a lot of people equate Muslim with terrorists or what the bad things are going to happen. Maybe she's going to bring Sharia law in the legislature. So thinking about all those things and seeing how can it be a hurdle into the race.
I think that's the fear, is that every move I make or everything that comes out of my mouth will be a representative of my family, of my community, of Islam, you know? And so, like, that is something that I know I'm very fearful of, and my family is too, because you're not allowed to go wrong. You can't make a mistake, because that is so risky. And it's something I've always been cautious about, which is like, I'm going to be this really, really good, really model Muslim to show people that this is Islam or whatever, and this is what it means to be Yemeni and come from Detroit, you know, all this fusion of identities.
I want to mention that although I worked for the United States government, I was screened and cleared to work in a very sensitive position, and I proved my loyalty more than once, and I experienced IEDs, firefights, and constant threats. I still had to go through the rigorous process of vetting before I came to the United States. It took me almost 2 years to get through the process and be granted a visa.
I was never somebody who grew up saying, I'm going to be a politician or anything like that. But I think, especially in times like this, there's a sense of responsibility that all of us are feeling from underrepresented communities. You know, we don't have diverse or representative elected bodies that are reflective of our communities. And I think a lot of us want to see that change. And I think that's why a lot of us are stepping up now.
And being a community organizer, thinking that, okay, there is so much you can do in the trenches, and but there is always a legislation example that's going to stop you from furthering your passion.
My immigrant story is the seed to my drive, because my mom is illiterate. She was married at the age of 14, very young, didn't get an opportunity to go to school. My father didn't also go to school, but he did know how to read and write. And my older siblings, when we moved to the U.S., had to sacrifice their opportunity for school for the rest of us. And as number eight, I always wanted to do more than anybody has ever done. It wasn't even an ego thing. It was, this is for my family. This is for my community. I have to do it for them.
I believe that the Middle Eastern community, the Arab community, and the Muslim community can rally behind a cause and can get organized enough to become a target population for politicians to come and ask for our vote instead of use us as as the scarecrow of the campaign.
I hope to one day run for office, maybe in the near future, depend.
I am looking at running for state rep, Michigan state rep.
Just want to grow in my learning journey to promote these, to promote the highest level of impact that I could have in the city.
So sure, yeah, the state level sounds great, but am I ready for that? That's a question still to be answered. I think I would start at the city level, the county level maybe. I'm not sure, I know.